When it comes to making the Yuletide gay, lesbians with arts and crafts are where it's at. There's no better way to celebrate than by grabbing a glue gun, some tinsel, and some glitter, and decorating your home to look like the church Christmas bazaar had a little too much eggnog.
But if you faint at the thought of pulling out the drill press when you need to make a hole in the wall, there's the delightfully butch lesbian Hillary Clint with her new web series Dyke It Yourself to show you how to do it yourself.
Today, Maggie Ferris, the creator of Dyke It Yourself, hosted by her alter ego Hillary Clint, joins us to look at the wild and wonderful world of how-to TV shows, from Martha Stewart to Amy Sedaris, from Cooking with Drag Queens to Dyke It Yourself.
Plus, ABC's new TV show, live in front of a studio audience, The Facts of Life, casts Katherine Hahn as 80s lesbian icon Joe Polnicek.
Twitter says no to doxing and revenge porn. Will they be deleting the whole site?
And Princess Butterheads at the Minnesota State Fair.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Before we begin, let's listen to a little bit of Dyke It Yourself, where the show's host, Hillary Clint, teaches viewers how to make a picture frame.
Welcome to Dyke It Yourself. I'm Hillary Clint, and I'm here to help you dyke it yourself. Today, we'll be making a picture frame.
Why would you need a picture frame?
To put a picture in, dumbass.
I'm trying to get you to explain things in a more friendly tone so your viewers start to like you.
They already like me. We don't have millions of views for no reason.
We don't have millions of views.
I've seen dozens of people that say they've seen the show millions of times.
Your mom has seen the show.
Well, your mom has seen the first word of this series. I showed it to her last night.
Gross.
She loved it. She was like, give me more. I want to know more about that. For this project, you'll need a miter saw or a circular saw. And if you don't have one of those, you're just not butch enough for this project.
Are there other ways they can complete the project?
They could buy pre-cut wood like a bunch of pussies.
Hey, babe, I'm running the store. Do you need anything?
Need you to get over here and motorboat me with them titties. Also, say hi to the camera.
Did you say that on live TV?
It's shit like that that's gonna make this shit go viral.
Or get us complaint letters.
Good morning.
Is this Maggie Ferris?
Yes, it is.
Merry Christmas!
Oh my God! Is it Santa?
No, it's Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun.
you guys are so cute.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
Hello. How are things up there in the great state of Minnesota? You got some snow?
Nothing yet. Nothing yet? At all. No. Yeah.
Did you hear about the French toast alert system?
What is
no.
that?
No.
It's for how many slices of French toast, how much snow you got. So like
ooh.
One slice, no storm predicted. Two slices, light snow. Three slices, moderate, plowable, snow predicted. And it just keeps on going.
And then can you eat the French toast?
You can eat it all.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
And since you're in Minnesota, you could turn it into a hot dish. You could do a French toast hot dish.
You could put some sausages on there and make a taquito out of it.
Lots of cheese.
Oh, of course, cheese.
Mm.
Maggie, you are such an adorable lesbian.
You stop now.
Well, that's your tagline, so I agree. Oh.
You know, I forget everything. I don't have a good memory.
Your new web series, Dyke It Yourself.
Yes.
Follows your even more butch, if that's possible, alter right. ego, Hillary Clint.
That's right.
As she opens up her garage for the cameras and shows us how to make our lives better with her tool belt.
That's correct.
This sounds like a little bit adult, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, if you count the sexual harassment, it's sort of adult.
Well, the other tagline you have is all the stereotypes.
Yeah, I'm trying to put in as many butch lesbian stereotypes as possible. However, we never got to drive away in a Subaru or a giant truck, which is what I really want to have happen at one point.
Was there a U-Haul involved anywhere?
See, there's got to be a U. I don't know. See, I have so many special friends that I don't know that any of them ever live with me. I guess that's not very stereotypical, is it?
Well, you have a big heart.
Right.
And that comes from, your medical smoking. Problems and smoking.
Too much cheese.
Too much Minnesota cheese.
And French toast. Yep.
But no, I mean, it really is an extraordinary series, and it's just premiering right now, like
on YouTube.
On YouTube, like it's just like it has like 3 views. Like how did we even discover this?
I got a press release.
You got a press release?
I did. Yeah.
How did you get a press release? Because I don't know how to do any of that stuff.
I don't. You have somebody you have somebody working for you, right?
No, I don't know what's happening. No.
No, it was a fan of hers. A fan of Maggie wrote to us and said, "You guys need to be best friends."
Huh.
And I was like, and I watched this and I was like, marry me.
You're already married.
I know. But I'm a loose goose.
Oh, I see. You have many Amories.
You know, and I absolutely love your arts and crafts. I came of age, you know, watching Martha Stewart and
nice.
You know, and the more ridiculous Martha got, the more entertaining it got. I think she made one time a mirror frame out of pecans.
Oh my gosh.
Pecan shells? Or the just pecan
shells, yeah.
So well, that way, if yeah. there's like a war, you can still eat them.
Aren't the pecans going to go
back? It's like, you know, Martha's one thing, but also too, like, you know, growing up, every talk show, they always had somebody coming on yeah. doing those kinds of like arts and crafts specials before there was the whole like do-it-yourself network and all those right. home shows and whatnot. They always had somebody coming on, like Merv Griffin or Mike Douglas, even like Johnny Carson. Sometimes they'd have people come
and
on.
We've been accused of being crazy and off the rails in our cooking series, Cooking with Drag Queens.
Which is awesome, by
thank
the way.
You, thank you. It's won awards.
What kind of award?
Not an Emmy. But
still.
Best cooking show with drag queens.
No, the yes. New York Times said it was the best LGBT video won Pride.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nice award.
Yeah.
That's got to feel good.
That's legit. And I think you're up for in the running for next year.
Sure. Sure.
I do believe this. And so people tell me that things are off the rails, but it's if you go watch Yoko Ono and John Lennon make egg rolls with some vegan guru lady on the Mike Douglas show, and Yoko Ono is like, I don't know if she's on drugs or something. She's like not following any instruction. Like John Lennon is so pussy whipped by her.
What? Like,
clearly.
Like, he's like, you are a goddess. And Yoko Ono is a goddess. She spoke at my graduation ceremony.
Did she really?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, somewhere in this world, in some filing cabinet, there's a photo of me in drag with Yoko Ono.
No way. That's great.
But
she did break up the greatest band of all time.
Was it really her?
They were on their way out, and they were looking for an escape.
Everybody's talking about that documentary on Netflix, right? About the
I
Beatles?
Haven't seen it yet. Is it good?
It's Disney. It's on Disney Plus. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's The Lord of the Rings.
Why would Disney do the Beatles?
They probably own a chunk of the Beatles at this point in time because they own everything. They're going to own your show by next year.
Maggie, you're good, a tycoon. You're a broadcasting tycoon.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have a hit show on your hands, and it's a matter just of you shopping around and be like, all right, fellas, who wants a piece of me?
How do I do that? Because I don't know about that part. That's just the part I'm really bad at.
Go to True TV because they just canceled the Amy Sedaris show.
Yeah.
And be like, listen, you canceled Amy. I'm cheaper.
Why would they cancel her?
I don't know. They have no taste.
They didn't cancel her. She's just rich and she doesn't care anymore.
Can I tell you a true TV story about Amy Sedaris?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so she's like one of my favoriteest people ever because, you know, she's funny. And she's, did you ever watch Strangers with Candy?
Yes.
Okay, it's so like not PC, you know, but she just didn't care and she did whatever she wanted, which is what I think a little bit Hillary Clinton does. But so I love her to death. And I finally got a chance to meet her in Boston at, I think it was like Boston Women's Comedy Festival or something. And I said, please, 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 can I have a selfie with you? And she was like, no. And I'm like, no, please. It'll take 1 second, please. And she was like, fine. And so I get my camera out. My hand is just shaking because she's like my A number one person, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she goes, you must be drunk, and walked away. And I was like, ah!
Yeah.
Well, she's mad at you from the future because she is a Jedi. We, in The Mandalorian, we discover that Amy Sedaris is force sensitive.
Wow.
And she's a Jedi. So she can tell that you're going to steal her slot. And that's not a sexual thing on True TV.
God, wait, I wish it were.
Did you get the selfie with her or not?
Okay, I have a very blurry selfie with her where she looks fucking, I mean, can I swear?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She looks pissed off and like she doesn't want to be there. And I'm like trying to smile, but I'm too nervous and it's just blurry. It's just sad.
Oh, I'm sorry for
Shame
that.
Shame on you, Amy Sedaris.
Right? Actually,
I have her on the other line.
And were you drunk?
Of course I was drunk. No, you don't have her on the other line. Have you ever talked to her?
No, she doesn't return our phone calls.
No, well, I mean, this is the problem with doing the show like we do is that, like, I think, you know, for we're celebrating 3,000. You're actually, like,
2,999?
Yeah, you're 2,999th
guest. It's just coincidence. We were going to try and do this big build-up and, you know, get really great guests and everything like that. And then we're just like, it's just too much pressure. Let's just do what we always
do. Let's just get Maggie.
Let's just get some lady someone told us about on the internet.
No, I actually think...
Some rando from Minnesota.
You're kind of the perfect guest, actually, because you represent the best things about Feast of Fun. Up until our 3,000th show, you're amazing comedian. You're doing a web series that is a procedural. No, the procedural is a Law and Order, a how-to, sorry.
Dun-dun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, how-to, I'll take that.
And
for sure.
You're sort of wearing is that a wig that you're wearing, or is that?
That is my real hair, and it drives my wife crazy. Like, not in a good way.
Why, because she wants you to cut it?
Yes, she doesn't like me with long hair. But the other day she did say that she thinks I look like a lion and I should roar at her.
Listen, mullets are hot.
I know, they're in right now. They're cool.
My gym crush has a mullet.
Really?
Yeah, he's totally sexy. And I'm just like, he looks like he walked out of like a muscle trailer park.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
I did it. Like, I had two shows this weekend. And the first night, my wife did it really tall, like, really tall, and because it's longer than it was in the series, and it was so tall it made me uncomfortable. So the second night I just did it super like feathered, so it's very versatile, but I love just the old school feathered look too. Mm. Of like the 80s 70s mullet.
Now Maggie, I do realize that, you know, Dyke It yourself is kind of introducing the public into the wonderful world of butch dykes.
Yes,
because in this day and age, you know, it's a lot of non-binary this and a lot of lipstick lesbian that.
Right.
And where's the world for the rough and tumble, you know, t-shirt, tool bell wearing, mullet wearing ladies?
Thank you. There's got to be a market for them, right?
Right. And you're building that space. And so you're introducing them to all the things that, like, you know, butch dykes are known for. And mullets is really like one of the key components, isn't it?
For real. For sure. But I feel like it's all like old school because like all the butch dykes are transitioning now.
Oh, really? Well, have you ever thought about that yourself?
I mean, but I like my own boobies too much, I think.
You can still keep them.
Yeah.
Anything goes now.
Gender's just a letter on your driver's license. And you can even get the letter X now in Oregon. Oh.
And other
What's
places
X,
too.
So is that just whatever?
Extra.
Ooh.
X for X rated.
Yeah, it's just you know, it's you don't need an M, you don't need an F, you can just be an X.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. That's where that came from.
Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, this podcast rating.
We are non-explicit.
We're actually G-rated, believe it or not. Yeah.
So how did
you're not.
Yes, we are.
We're G-rated.
I already dropped the F-bomb.
We'll take it out later. We'll take it out later.
I'll edit it later.
We actually have a little button. It searches for the F-word and it just automatically removes it.
And it removes it. It replaces it with like, wow. So every time you hear our guest or us going, wow, mm-hmm. we're really saying, fuck.
So how did you get into the do-it-yourself business? Were you just, you know, I know it snows a lot up there in Minnesota, and you just like, is it like these long winters and you got to do something and stay busy? So you were like, did you grow up crafting?
No, I mean, I guess, yeah, I've always done a little bit of it, but I mean, it's totally just the character's thing to do, you know? Mm. I mean, I guess I've done all the dyke stuff like woodworking and I majored in studio arts when I went to college. So I guess I have been, you know, always building stuff and making stuff, but I don't know. It just seems so butch to me to do like carpentry and build stuff and be like in charge of design and making it. And see, I'm already switching into like Hillary's voice here.
That's yeah. All right.
I think you might like flip over one day, you know, like Elvira, Cassandra Peterson, she says they're different characters, but they're really not, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Sure, there's a blurred line, as Mr. Thick would say. But didn't she just recently come out?
She did come out.
Yeah, she's coming for your gigs.
Oh, good for her.
She was very brave. She came out with a really lucrative book deal and television series.
Boy, I wish I was that brave.
You know, I should go back into the closet. We should all go back into the closet.
Yeah, but you'll have to wait another 15 or 16 years to come out then.
Is maybe there a time window?
Maybe, well, maybe there's a market for gays going back in the closet.
Well, what is it? Yeah, some
we could write a book
I'm not
on
saying
that.
His name.
Oh. Well, but it seems like, you know, if you come out of the closet, Netflix calls you and gives you a TV show.
That's not true.
That
guy from The Bachelor, he's getting a TV show. Elvira got a TV show from Netflix.
Oh, she got a TV show too?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was just a book.
No, she got a TV series on Netflix. Oh. Yeah.
You just have to be your authentic self, and then the riches will follow.
No, you have to be your unauthentic self, and then be your authentic self.
Oh, okay. So if I go and live a lie for like 10 years and then say, oh, just kidding, I wasn't being authentic, then I'll make it?
That's Hollywood.
Well, I don't know if it's possible for you, Maggie, to be in the...
I know. I'm pretty much just me, always.
So in terms of like, you know, your passion for arts and crafts, is that like you really do, you know, build stuff and, you know, paint cardboard... paper, toilet paper tubes, and
I mean, I can't. You know what? I like to do woodworking projects, and I like to fix stuff around the house, like that's broken. And I like to bake. I'm a baker, and I make a lot of cookies and candies and sweet, yummy treats.
What are you making?
Oh, I just perfected like you know, like a really chewy, yummy caramel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I make those, but then I put chai in them.
Ooh.
Oh, so you make it like a chai-flavored caramel.
Yes, and it is delicious.
I'm going to lay this on you. Mark and I, we're always like develop, and maybe you and your wife are all like Julia Child and her husband too.
Yeah.
We're always like arguing and debating and developing recipes.
Yes. My favorite thing is to like, okay, I really would like to have a good one of these. And so then I'll go and I will make it 30 times until I get it right, you know? Oh, and wow. I just have to keep trying to make, I mean, it usually doesn't take 30 times, but I like to keep trying and trying and trying until I get it how I want it. I tried to perfect a chocolate chip cookie and it took me years and years and years and years. I ended up making my own vanilla extract and that's what made it delicious.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to know what the secret is to a good vanilla extract.
Well, it's your own. It's pure. It's out of vanilla beans that you've put in a thing of vodka for a year under the cupboard and shake up every couple of weeks. I mean, it's delicious.
I buy the cheap Mexican stuff at the store.
Which isn't bad. That's not bad. But boy, it makes a difference having... like real good vanilla stuff.
You know, the secret to great chocolate chip cookies is brown butter.
What do you mean? You cook the butter first? And
you
then
cook the butter first and you brown it to bring out the caramelization flavor.
Sure.
In the butter, cool it. And there's a thousand, you know, videos on YouTube and the internet about brown butter chocolate chip cookies. And it takes it another level. And I think that's what you were trying to get to with your vanilla, right?
Yep.
There you go.
I'm going to combine them both now. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, brown that butter. So, you know, the holidays are coming. Mark's big tradition is that he invites only his Norwegian-American friends. Because Mark was on a Norwegian-American reality TV show called Alt for Norge.
Mm-hmm. Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing. It's Norway's number one reality TV show because they hate celebrities in Norway.
I love it.
They don't hate celebrities.
They loathe them.
They just think those celebrities are just like that.
Are stupid.
Well, don't they have like royalty in Norway?
They do.
I feel like you either have royalty or you have celebrities.
Well, UK has both. Yeah.
Right, but they also say that. But the Norwegian royalty, they view them not so much. Like you'll see them in the grocery store. You know what I mean?
They're just real people.
Yeah, they're just real people.
Norwegians have a huge problem: is that they really love to go camping, and they hate celebrities, and they even hate their theaters in the warm months are closed.
Yeah, they close the theaters in the summer.
In the summer. Which
capital of Oslo has a theater that would show like Broadway shows closed during the summer.
So
boy, they want you to get out there and skateboard or what?
They like to go camping.
They like to be in nature.
And all the women are pretty butch dykey, right?
That is true.
There is a sensibility, right? And so anyways,
the women, they chew that, tobacco.
They're tough. They're a breed. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, Mark was cast on this reality TV show called Alt for Norge, The Great Norwegian Adventure. And it's kind of like a low budget version of The Amazing Race.
Okay, fun.
So they have about 15 Norwegian Americans, depending on the season, retracing their roots. And when they get eliminated, they're like, this is where your great, great, great grandfather died from lupus.
No way.
Yes.
And people are like crying and they're like, oh, it was so amazing.
They have tryouts at Mall of America.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes, they do. I mean, half the people that are on the show are from Minnesota.
So I believe that. There's a lot of Scandinavians here, is for sure.
So Mark has been bitten by the Norwegian bug. And so he...
Do you have a cool sweater?
I have like three Norwegian sweaters.
Those sweaters are the best.
They are so warm.
Yeah.
So you he invites his friends. I'm going to get the story out.
You will.
Maybe.
After we interrupt you a little bit longer, right, Maggie?
Yes, those sweaters, like I said. Aren't they from real sheep?
Wool will keep you dry even when it's wet.
That's what I'm talking about.
Keep you warm when it's warm.
Okay. So Mark every year gets his friends from the reality TV show together and they make Christmas cookies that are like Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Only, it's kind of like those Danish butter cookies. They're okay.
Yeah.
But what's even worse is when you open the tin and you find sewing supplies.
Oh, God. What a disappointment.
Right. And so, you know.
I'd rather have a mediocre cookie.
Right. Mediocre cookie or sewing needles and pins and thumbtacks and shit like that. But anyways, and so, I'm wondering, because you're from Minnesota, you have the Norwegian blood going through you.
Yes.
What's your favorite Norwegian cookie recipes?
You don't know if she's Norwegian.
Oh, honey.
Oh, come on. Of course I am a little bit. I'm like Norwegian, Italian. I'm Scottish. I'm Scottish. My father was from Canada, where they all came from, Scotland. I don't know a distinctly Norwegian cookie. I know, those white ones with the nuts, those are Russian. But then isn't that Stroopwafel Norwegian?
No, that's from the Netherlands.
That's a Netherlands cookie.
Yeah,
the caramel ones.
Is it the rosettes? What are there?
Those rosettes are Norwegian, but they're typically Scandinavian.
Okay, well, I love those.
Those are really good. I love those. We used to make those growing
up. The one you make is called Krumkaka.
Krumkaka.
Yeah. Sounds awful.
Yes.
But it's fun to say.
Yeah. And Fausto often gets that confused with the Kransekaka. So there's two different kakas. You got the Kransekaka.
Why do you name your cookies kaka?
It's cake.
Right? Kaka. It sounds like the between your toes stuff. But I bet it's good. Is it yummy? Oh, you know what? Nope. I know what my favorite one is. They have it at, I guess it's Swedish. Isn't that close enough?
That's close enough, yeah.
Okay, what's the one, they have it at the Swedish Institute here, and it's like a pastry that has like almondy stuff in it?
Mm-hmm. There's a semla, there's a bun.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah,
yes.
Those are so traditionally good. Served at like Fat Tuesday for okay. just before Lent. I brought so like, you one. Do you remember?
I did. I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good.
You didn't bring me one.
Well, I didn't.
Listen, you're welcome to come into our home studio and we're turning Cooking with Drag Queens into a streaming show.
Ooh.
So the nice thing about it is you don't have to edit anything. You just dress weird and do it.
There you go. Where do you guys live?
We're in Chicago. Yeah.
Well, that's not far.
No. Hop in the Greyhound. You'll be here in 9 hours.
We could get a deep
You're driving
dish
six.
So, you know, with the holidays coming and you're an arts and crafts, you know, queen.
Yeah, for sure.
What's your thoughts on like, you know, and really we see the church bazaars, the fundraisers. That's where they bring, you know, like painting a pistachio shell into a frog and sticking it on a Christmas tree or.
How adorable are those things? So the God's Eye. Do you know the God's Eye?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as brilliant. Right
it's kind
there.
Of like a Native American thing, isn't it?
Well, the God's Eye is Turkish, isn't it?
I don't even know, but they always are at the church bazaar.
Are you talking about the blue thing with the eye?
No, it's a crucifix with yarn around it.
Yeah, it's popsicle sticks, really, with yarn woven.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. And it's staring at you, and you're like, God has a really funky eye.
I have a he feeling sure that's does. Like a Protestant Christian kind of thing.
It's gotta be. It's right? gotta be. I love all those silly crafts. I just saw a funny meme of like a lady who made pot, like, you know how if your pot gets hot on the pot handle? So she crocheted little handle warmers, but they all look like penises.
I saw that. That was amazing.
Did you see that one? Wasn't that so silly? It was so silly.
You mean they look like dildos? We got to keep it with a theme here.
Yeah, we can't have grandma making those anymore for church.
One of my favorite things that I did was when we were kids, we would cut out donuts, circles, you know, out of cardboard, wrap it in foil, and then take two-sided tape and glue Hershey's Kisses on it.
Ooh.
So you're making like a Hershey's Kiss wreath.
Mine wouldn't have lasted because I would have eaten them.
Same. I would have been like, this could go on the tree, like, or I could eat it.
Yeah, here's some foil on a thingy. But you know what I was going to say was my favorite to make when I was little is those, like, you just take a white piece of paper and you fold it in like 4 or 8 or something, and then you cut little nuggets out of it, and then you unfold it, and it's a beautiful snowflake.
Aww. Yeah, we did that a lot in school.
Yeah, you can do those with cocktail napkins when you're trying to pick somebody up. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do that all the time when I try to pick somebody else.
Some cultures get really into it, and they have these elaborate paper cuttings. I know Polish people do a lot, and they use colored paper, and they hang them up throughout their house, and you're just like, wow, this is really amazing. That's like, and they just cut it from paper.
They're beautiful. Another thing I love, too, is those is miniatures. Anything that's something that's normal size or big and made teeny tiny is I just go crazy for. I don't – everyone does, but – I follow all those miniature people on like Instagram and all that, and I've never really made any of those things. Although, no, one time I did make. I used to make glass beads, and I made a whole collection of like serial killer tools, like a knife and a gun and all sorts of. And so they were tiny glass ones, and that was fun. But yeah, okay, now I'm just rambling.
Well, you're a tag. I mean, you're a safety scissor sister, right?
For sure.
But you were talking about in your stand-up comedy is like that, you know, if you actually try to have sex like that, it's ludicrous.
Well, I mean, it is, especially if you have chubby thighs.
Yeah, you need thigh gap to scissors, right?
It's just you need something. You need something else. It's just rubbing around. I mean, not that rubbing around's not bad. But it just doesn't, you don't get the job finished, I don't think, very well. Some lesbians are going to come after me because they love it. I don't know. But I feel like it's just made up for boys' porno shows.
It could be. You know, I had my first boyfriend, we used to do something kind of similar. I won't get too graphic into it, but, you know, you do it for a little while, but eventually it's like, you got to move on, you know?
You got to move on. That's a gateway. That's a gateway sex act.
You gotta have a lot of good core strength.
There you go. And I am chubby, and I like waffles.
Well, and you got to kind of, you know, it's hard to kind of like, you need that bumping against each other, right? And you're both laying down. It's, you got to, what you get, you like need a swing or something.
She's a lesbian, not a tortilla maker, Mark.
You're not, you need something else, some tools, something in the mix, you know what I mean? Or a different way of doing it entirely.
Now, I noticed that in the set that you're taping your show, is that your actual garage or somebody's garage?
That is actually my own garage.
That's amazing. And I imagine that, you know, one of the most important things in arts and crafts and woodworking is learning how to use a drill press.
For sure.
And so I imagine that a lot of your gay friends were like, hey, you know, Maggie, there's this bathroom at the truck stop. And I really got a lot of action, but they closed up the glory hole. Will you come over and drill a hole for me?
I've never officially been asked that, but I would do that in a heartbeat. Although I wouldn't know how do you put like a liner around it so it's not so rough, or how do you know what size to make it? Isn't there all different sizes and shapes?
There's got to be a template on, you know, Etsy.
You just need a circle.
I would imagine a circle would be your best bet for the shape. But the logistics of it are mind boggling to me, which is probably why I'm a dyke. But yeah.
Well, our lesbian friends, the lesbians have glory holes and they just sit on either side of it and they just process with each other.
Okay, you got me there. That's pretty good. I don't even think you need a hole for
this.
That.
This is all season two material for you, Maggie. By the way.
You're just telepathically doing it, you know, just emotions melding into one. I love it.
God, well, you know, what is it your friend said about holes?
Which friend?
You were talking that the you know, when guys see holes.
Oh, yeah. I have a bit about that.
Yeah.
For sure. They automatically think, can I stick my dick in that? And they have a debate in their head. And honestly, I didn't believe that. That's what a friend of mine told me. And so I had to survey 10 different men in 10 different audiences. And they all, except for one, because he was on a date. It was like a first date. So he didn't want to admit it. But they were all like, of course we do. That's what we do. Of course we do.
Well, that's the movie, you know, American Pie, yeah. You know.
Nature abhors a vacuum.
What?
Nature abhors a vacuum. You see a vacuum, you got to fill it with something.
Thank you. Exactly. It's like science.
Well, I love how you berate your producer, JJ, on the series.
Isn't he sweet? He's such a nice boy.
Is he actually the person filling? Well, obviously he's in front of the camera, but, you know, is he actually like editing the show or helping produce it? Or?
No, not at all. He is just acting in it. He's also another stand-up from here who is incredibly talented, very funny guy named David Harris. But he is just acting. He is producer JJ, and that's it. Mm. Sorry, my dog is scratching on her collar.
Oh, what here, kind dog. Of dog you got?
I have a, well, this one's a mini Labradoodle, and then I have a mutt and another mutt.
Oh. Tell me about beating Tignataro at the Aspen Comedy Festival. Did she go down with much of a fight?
Well, she had cancer, so she's weak as a kitten.
She was weak from her cancer, and I'm such a butch dyke, I just knocked her down, you know?
It says on your resume that you beat her.
I did. There was an award for, like, I don't know, it was best clip of the year, and my clip and her clip got played all the time, and mine beat her. And that was back when it wasn't even that joke. And it was her no moleste joke, which I think is a brilliant joke. If you've never heard it, look it up. It's very funny.
No moleste?
Yeah. It's like the sign on when you're in a hotel. But she just, she's so good. You know, she just
she's brilliant.
She can talk about it for an hour and it's hilarious. But yeah, no, I did beat her. That was a proud moment for sure. But she probably doesn't even know that award existed even. You know what I mean?
She's just like, let me go check and see if that award's in my bank vault of money.
Yeah, let me just count these dollars.
My Discovery, right? Star Trek Discovery money.
Well, you know, Cameron Esposito, she used to be a regular on this podcast for years.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
And she came into some money and moved to California moved to Beverly Hills, that is.
Packed up her shit and she moved to Beverly.
Swimming pools, movie stars. And I used to joke about with her and I said, you know, when you're a lesbian comedian, you know, you get to hang out with Ellen and Rosie and stuff, but you have to be at a certain level. And you get to their pool parties and it's exactly like gangster rappers, only it's all women and, you know, herbal tea.
Oh my God.
And she used to like, you know, be like kind of berating and making fun of all that stuff. And then right. She moved to California. She got on Jay Leno. She got huge star.
Look at now.
And the next time I asked her, I said, what about those lesbian pool parties? She's like, what lesbian pool parties?
I can't talk about it.
Yeah. Oh. She's like, it was like a secret club that she got
now
into.
Now I'm in the Illuminati and I can't speak of it.
The Clitorati.
The Clitorati, we call it.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
Yeah, they're so in palm rings. Will you, if you get into the inner circle, will you tell us about it?
Sure. Sure. I'll call you first thing from the pool party.
So one thing that was getting your goat before we started taping is the announcement that they're doing a Facts of Life. What is this show called, Mark?
It's going to be a Facts of Life, like a live version of it with adult actors.
So the name of the show is called in Live in Front of a Studio Audience for ABC Television. And so they're having adult actors reenact classic episodes of Facts of Life and Different Strokes.
You know that one was born of the other, don't you?
What do you mean?
Well, Different Strokes came first.
Oh, yeah. They're spinoffs of each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, she was the lady, whatever her name was.
Mrs. Garrett.
Yes. Mrs. Garrett was their like housekeeper maid on Different Strokes for a while.
Right. And then she went off to the all-girls school.
The boarding school to raise girls, yes. Mm-hmm.
And Catherine Hahn, who's best known as the Scarlet Witch from
Is she the Scarlet?
Yeah.
No, because isn't the Scarlet Witch is Wanda?
Okay.
Wanda's the Scarlet Witch.
She's known as the Purple Lady. What is her, the Purple Witch?
Agnes Harkness.
Yes.
Yes.
It was Agatha all along. So, yeah. So Agatha, the Purple Witch. And she's also known as playing a rabbi in Transparent.
Okay.
So a lot of the people, there was this like blog entry by that was shared by not Lisa. God, what is her name? Jesus is Magic. Sarah Silverman. Sarah Silverman said, these women need to stop playing Jews in Hollywood.
Isn't that like a thing now, too? Like, you can't play a Jewish person unless you're Jewish, right?
Well, part of it is there are, you know, it's like there's a lot of Jewish actors in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Who would think?
But it was weird, though, on Transparent, all those kids were played by non-Jewish people. Yeah,
Gentiles.
Really?
Yeah, all the kids were. And Catherine Hahn, she's not Jewish either.
She's not Jewish. She played a rabbi. She's not a witch.
Okay.
And now she's playing Joel Polnicek. She's not a lesbian. Stop taking jobs from other people.
Thank you. There aren't that many. I mean, Orange is the New Black was pretty much everyone's playground, but that's it. That's where you're only going to get all the lesbians cast in one fell swoop.
And I'm not very excited about Jennifer Aniston. She doesn't really like, I'm not a huge fan or anything. I'm like, whatever. But I am actually kind of excited to see her play Blair.
Oh my God, that'll be fun.
Because Blair had iconic hair too, you know, and she had that Rachel hairdo for years, so it'll be interesting to see her in that hair.
Oh, Blair was like one of my first girl crushes on TV, for sure.
My friend Ed had a crush on her, and she came to our town. I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania. My parents are from the Twin Cities, so I have a Minnesota connection. Oh, no. But I was raised in Erie, Pennsylvania. I went to Catholic school, right? And so my friend Ed's like, hey, Lisa Welchel, Blair from Facts of Life, is coming to town. Let's go see her perform. I'm like, all right, where do we go see her? He's like, it's at this church. I'm like, what? Because, you know, we were raised Catholic. You don't go see performances at churches, right? Unless it's like Handel's Messiah. And so I ride my bike there. I meet him. This church is packed. And so we have to sit like on the aisle, like next to the windows, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. We were on the floor. We couldn't find a seat. It was standing room only, basically. And they had a service. I had no idea we had to go through a service. Then all of a sudden, people start speaking in tongues. And I'm just like, what is going on? And they actually explained it to us, too. It's like somebody would get up and they do the yabba dabba do hooky doobie doo. And then somebody else would stand up and translate, because like you can't just speak in tongue without having somebody translate, because if nobody can translate it, you're just speaking from the devil, right?
What was Blair's role in all
and
this?
And so they had this whole service, and then Blair came out and started, she came out singing, and then she testified a little bit about her love of Jesus and the Lord and everything. And maybe
she still loves him, doesn't she?
Yeah, I'm sure she does, you know?
I think she does.
And then she sang like a couple more songs, and that was it. That was just like, like I was weirded out. I was like 15. I was just
did
like,
you have to pay money for that?
No, I mean, of course they passed the hat or whatever, but it was just like, I didn't, you know, I was a kid. I probably didn't even have money.
I wonder if she was making money on that.
Oh, I'm sure she was.
I suppose that was
Jesus
her
pays.
Jesus does pay. Mm-hmm.
We'll ask Kirk Cameron.
I suppose, yeah. He's the same boat as her, wasn't he?
I think she's a little kinder and gentler, right?
Well, she's friends with all those people, whereas Kirk, nobody liked Kirk Cameron.
Oh, really?
And Kirk Cameron forced the producers not to have him, like, there were, like, he couldn't kiss his girlfriend or be alone in his bedroom with her, like so he...
No bad influences?
Yeah, he had to have his character be wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was, I guess.
Now, they have not announced, ABC has not announced in live in front of a studio audience whether Jerry Jewell, my favorite Facts of Life cast member.
Jerry Jewell.
Who is also a stand-up comedian.
Yep.
Is she a lesbian, too?
She is.
I feel like she is, right?
She is openly gay, yeah.
Okay.
And Jerry Jewell, who says, Blair, I think you're pretty. She has cerebral palsy, the sexiest form of the palsies.
As our friend Zach Anner says.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
So I'm kind of, you know, I'm on the fence about it.
I'm excited. Yeah. But they're also doing a different...
Don't you think, like, something like that is more fun when, like, Tootie, the one who played Tootie or Mindy Cohen, if they come back and have, like, grown-up roles, like little cameos and stuff. Why don't they do fun stuff like that?
And Lord knows they need the work, you know? It's not like Mindy Cohn's all over the place.
Come on, what's the last thing she did? Facts of Life.
But maybe they're just so wealthy, they're just kind of like, they don't want to be bothered.
Do you think?
Have they said who Mrs. Garrett's going to be?
Maybe.
She's dead, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The actress who played Mrs. Garrett.
She died not too long ago. You know, not too long ago. And I guess in the different Strokes cast, they're going to have John Lithgow as Mr. Drummond, Kevin Hart as Arnold.
Wow.
Damon Wayans as Willis, and Ann Dowd as... Oh, Ann Dowd is going to be Mrs. Garrett. Okay. So I hope she's going to be in... I guess I would assume she'd be in both of them.
Don't you remember in the first Facts of Life, and then it was Cloris Leachman took over Mrs. Charlotte Ray's spot, and then they opened this store, and little George Clooney was like the handyman in the store when he was like really young.
Oh man, I think I stopped watching it by then.
Yeah, it was called the name of the store was called Over Our Heads.
Are you kidding me?
And they tried to pair Joe Polnicek with George Burnett, George Clooney's character. And of course, it's like, you know, it's like Ellen when she was in a romantic comedy with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not believable.
It doesn't work.
I think in real life, Nancy McKeon is not a lesbian.
I think you're right. She was a tomboy.
But her character, I don't know, like, did we just assume she was a lesbian or?
Of course. She had all lesbian traits.
It was like wearing the necktie loose.
Leather jacket, car mechanic, rode a motorcycle. Come on.
She was more butch than Lea Delaria.
Totally. Except she was a little cuter. Well, yeah. Some would say. Some think Lea Delaria is the cat's meow. So,
what do you think of, like, there's an interest in sort of, you know, because drag queens doing Golden Girls is a huge moneymaker.
See, that's adorable. I would watch that all day long. We still watch Golden Girls now, you know, like we, before we go to bed, we will turn on an episode of Golden Girls. I mean, it is timeless television. So drag queens doing anything is always just a little bit better.
But yeah, but I mean, I wonder, like, is it part of it is that like TV shows today are just kind of, they feel empty or they're serialized, right? So one episode ends and then it doesn't really conclude. It just keeps going and going like Lost, you know?
Yeah.
And then after watching it for 5 years, you're like, oh, it was all a dream.
Aren't they recycled?
No, they were in purgatory.
Or in hell or whatever, you know.
I don't know. But isn't that, I mean, just like everything gets recycled and recycled and recycled. So if you're going to recycle it, sprinkle in drag queens and it's going to be better.
That's right. That's
right? I mean, isn't that a winning recipe?
I think so, you know.
Yeah. It's like drag queen brunch. It's brunch, but better.
That's why we do cooking with drag queens. Yeah. It's like a cooking show, but with, you know, drag
cooking,
queens, it's better.
But better, yes. Hmm. I'm all for it.
Did you hear about Twitter is now, they said that they're going to ban doxing and revenge porn.
So basically, they're going to delete the whole site.
Yes.
What? <Yeah. laughs> Okay, wait a minute. Don't get mad at me.
Doxing?
What is that?
Doxing is when you reveal somebody's like home address, like you want to get revenge on somebody, so you're just like go and harass them and give them their home address. And do you know what revenge porn is?
No.
It's when
that's when you like superimpose their face on porn or something.
I could be one of it. I
got into trouble one time. I did that with a friend.
That was pretty good though. He was mad.
Well, it was you know, because it was
face in drag, right?
Yeah, it was face in drag, and
then they got a big giant, you know,
ding dong.
You remember my formula? It's even better.
And so revenge porn is like, let's say I send you like pictures of like my private parts or something, and you put it out there like, hey, look what Mark sent me, you know?
Oh, I use it against you.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is with RuPaul's Drag Race is that the audience for that show has done both to us.
Mm.
They have put they thought our mailing address is our home address. And so they put our mailing address to get people to try to send like bombs or turds or God knows what. And then
why are they so mad at you?
They were mad because a lot of the famous girls from the show got their start. You know, we've been doing this podcast for 16 years, 3,000 shows. And so a lot of our guests, like you, become really famous, you know, because we have excellent taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can tell.
And so their fans get mad that we are time travelers and knew that in the future they would be successful. So we're, you know, it's just their mind is not working.
They get mad because we ask them questions and, you know, because they're 12, 13 years old and they don't understand adult conversations, you know. And so sometimes you have an adult conversation with somebody and they're like, I can't believe you asked that. And it's like those things were, you know, we talk about these things before, especially if it's a sensitive subject. You know, if it's a sensitive subject, you talk about it. You're like, hey, do you want to talk about this? How do you want to frame this? How do you want to, you know, where is this going to go? What do you think? Is this too personal? That kind of, you know, that kind of stuff.
It's hard to be a grown up sometimes, though, and say, set the boundaries and say, no, I really don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have conversations before we tape, usually, if it's something like, you know, if you had something that was like super like private that we knew about, you know.
I told you guys I didn't want to talk about doxing and revenge porn.
So anyway, they get mad at that kind of stuff because it's like
Barbara Walters.
The thing is like sometimes they think like a podcast like this or a talk show is like you're gonna sit there and it's like idol worship. Like I'm just gonna sit there and tell you like how wonderful you are and just everything about you.
I was waiting for that
magic. Well, you are wonderful. You're magical. Otherwise, we wouldn't have invited you on. But you know, it's there's layers to people, and you want to kind of like show that kind of stuff because it's you want to present, you know, an authentic kind of picture, right?
Of course.
Yeah. And they don't get it. Wow. So what are you going to do?
Well, thank God it wasn't your real address, right?
Well, it's our mailing address, which is 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60660. So it's not something we don't, you know, we put it out there for people to.
Well, okay. Maggie, if yeah. people want to visit your set.
Yeah. Oh, it took me a minute. I'm like, yeah, come on over. Just, yeah, you know. I'll have semla.
I imagine that you're going to have a lot of fans from this series because it's really amazing and it's funny as hell.
I appreciate that so much. I've had this character in my head for a long time. So I just, it's been fun to actually write them and actually make them and actually put them out there. You know, a lot of times it doesn't get all the way through to that part. And, you know, I'm a creative person, so I have 8 gajillion ideas floating around, and to actually get to the end of it and see it is really fun. And so that has been fun, and I'm just really glad that I picked the people I did to help me kind of produce it, because they did such a great job. Even like the beginning intro is so good. It's just so silly.
The cinematography is so good. It looks like, you know, Discovery Channel lesbian, right? Edition.
I know, it just makes me happy. So I like I said, I don't know all that like PR stuff and putting it out there, and I'm nobody, you know. I've never been on TV shows or anything like that. I just do my stand-up, I do my stuff, and I hope that people like it, and I hope that they like it enough so I can just keep doing it. And that's, so I'm really happy to have it out there, and I'm happy that people like you are picking it up and enjoying it. And I hope more people jump on it and watch it, even if they don't like it. I don't think it's going to be for everyone. It's a little bit offensive, you know?
Who's going to get offended by it?
Butch Sykes.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I kind of sexually harass people. I think young people who in college might not like it. I don't know.
Well, you do sell your own merchandise, and it's Beaver Fever.
Yep, come get a Beaver Fever shirt.
You know, in Chicago, there's a hardware store chain called Crafty Beaver.
Ooh, I like it.
And they have, you know, you'd think they would have the Beaver Fever style shirts.
Yeah.
They have a chipmunk dressed up as a handyman.
It's a beaver.
Oh, it's a beaver. Sorry, that's right. I was like,
that's kind of cute, though.
And now it's like, it has a hammer, and it looks like it's going to hit its head with a hammer, you know?
That's wacky.
And it's really wacky. It's wonderful. And, you know, I used to go in there and be like, do you guys have t-shirts? And they're like, no.
Why wouldn't you at least have t-shirts?
So finally, one day, they're like, oh, you've been asking? Because they were my hardware store for a long time.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Fausto, we have merch now.
I bet you're the only one who bought it.
And I was like, great, where is the t-shirt? And they're like, oh, no, it's an embroidered polo shirt.
Oh, God.
And it didn't even have the beaver on it.
Oh, my God.
I was like,
did you wear it?
You need to fire your merchandising person.
Yes, you do.
You could have made so much money from that Crafty Beaver.
I mean, come on, you still could.
You know,
there's no beaver sell.
As long as you got a beaver, you got money in your wallet.
That's what I'm talking about. It's a market for you.
Are the Beaver Fever shirts starting to sell, or this is something from a past project? Or
No, this is just for this. I just bought them. And so I haven't even picked them up yet.
Oh, shoot. So it's brand new.
Yeah. You want one?
Yeah, I totally want one. I'm a large.
I'll send you one.
Really?
Large.
Christmas has come early. I'll model it for it and promote it the hell out of it.
Okay, that'd be fun.
You know.
What was your home address again?
Our home address is 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640. And please insert edibles.
Ooh.
Or drugs.
Ooh.
Or adult paraphernalia, as long as it's legal.
I like money in the mail. Money in the mail is always good.
Money.
Gold.
Cash.
Yeah.
Gold bullion. Do you accept gold bullion?
We accept Bitcoin.
Oh, do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm giving this to you, and now I'm giving you Bitcoin,
too?
No,
you're not giving us. I'm talking about the audience. Yeah.
Oh. You want them to send you Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's Christmas.
I'll take just one Bitcoin.
You know, if you gave one Bitcoin to somebody, what's the value of it? Is it $66,000?
Yeah.
I'm impressed that you know the value, the current value of Bitcoin.
She's a crypto dyke.
I can't tell you how much Doge and Shiba Inu I even own, okay?
Really?
Yes, I love that stuff. It's so silly.
It is kind of...
Wait, Shiba Inu is a dog, isn't it?
There's a cryptocurrency called Shiba Inu, and it's done very well.
Oh, really?
But the problem is that by the time you know something's done well, it's not the time to buy it.
It's true.
Oh, you just like buy any it when stock. It's risky.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But how do you know when it's the right time to buy a cryptocurrency or a stock or anything like that?
Do you know what I did, honestly, because I was just like, whatever, I'm just going to put a few $100 in this just for funsies. And so I went on the cryptocurrency site or whatever, and I bought everything that was like way less than 10 cents because I was like, well, it'll either just fizzle away or it'll explode one day.
And did it?
Well, no, I'm still waiting.
It is sort of like the modern equivalent of buying lottery tickets.
Yeah, except, you know what? My portfolio has gone up for sure.
Yeah, because back in the days, like my friends, you know, before there was the internet, we would create care packages for each other and put up really messed up things in the boxes.
That's fun.
And one of them is like, you know, if you had friends in New York, their scratch coin, their scratch lottery tickets were really wild.
Okay.
Like that nudity, you know, you could go to like, you know, to Times Square and buy like, you know, sexual dirty versions of it, you know?
Sure.
So you would take the naked lady and scratch off her bra.
Ooh, risque.
Now, Maggie, did you grow up in Minnesota?
Yes.
Did you go to the state fair a lot?
Oh my God, I love the state fair.
I'm sad to hear that the butterhead lady, the lady who sculpted all those heads of the beauty queens out of butter, is retired after 50 years or something.
Yeah, but the new guy's pretty good.
Oh, really? So everybody's already forgotten about her and her 50 years of service?
Well, no, we still love her and revere her. But like the new guy, she just always did one flat knob for the teeth. It was just like one flat surface. And he actually makes teeth, so they almost look better. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at one of her things right now and I see, it's just kind of like.
You see how her teeth are just like flat, like big thing. He does individual teeth, which I'm like, oh yeah, that's a regular mouth.
And so describe for the listeners like how, like what this is and like how do you view it.
Okay, so if you're a Princess K of the Milky Way, which is how you get to be royalty of Minnesota State Fair, and then each princess gets their likeness carved out of butter, which I believe it's like 100 pounds of butter all put together in a giant block, and then you have to go in this refrigerated case, which twirls, so when you go and watch, you can watch them sculpt it. They're twirling around very slowly. You know, it's like one of those restaurants high atop a beautiful hotel so you can see the city.
Yeah.
It's like that, except for you're looking at sculpting butter. Now, when this is done, they're like, everybody's like, what a waste. It is not a waste because the butter sculptures get to go home with each girl and then they can put them in the freezer. And then you put like an ear out for corn. Or like a nose, and you can butter it with the lips or however you want to do it. But so it doesn't go to waste.
But these girls, they do keep the butter heads?
Yes, each girl gets to take her own head home.
Do you think that they just have a freezer at home and they just keep them in there in perpetuity or something? Or
I mean, I would cut myself up a little and eat it, use it, you know?
You would spread it.
Butter for a month.
Well, it's salted butter, you know, so you wouldn't want to bake with it.
No.
Because everything will become too
salty. Well, I would think a butter sculpture of Hillary Clinton would be America's at its proudest moment.
She would need like a full body, I feel like.
And you could, get a butter knife and spread some of Hillary on your toast.
Wouldn't that be divine? I think everybody would buy into that.
Well, I definitely want to make it up for the state fair one of these days and see those butterheads, because I've heard about them my whole life, because you know my grandpa lived not too far from the fairgrounds, so
oh nice,
they used to just walk over to it.
I got engaged to my wife at the fair because we love it so much. I wrote a song about the state fair. You should look it up. It's on YouTube. It's really good.
Can you just sing like a bar?
Well, there's horticulture, agriculture, princess carved in butter, sculptures, midway, kidway, horses eating bales of hay, mini donuts filled with guts, roasted nuts and rescue mutts, tiny little elephant butts. I love the cops on horses, twirling torches, adventure park, G-forces, there's just no place like the great Minnesota. Get together.
You know, I've actually seen that before.
That's me.
Yes, totally have. I'm like, we were meant to be together.
I love it.
Marry me, Maggie. Leave your spouse. I'll leave mine. We'll connect at the state fair and spread that butter.
Oh, won't that be fun? Just rolling around. We could put all the butter on the giant slide and then on a hot day just slide down.
We got to have like a couples day, like a, you know, what is it? A Bob and Terrell, Ted and Alice queer edition.
And go to the state fair. We could just go out for beer.
A double date.
Yes.
I understand those words that you just said.
It's a 70s movie. I actually never seen it, but Alan Alda was in it. We could
meet in Madison or Eau Claire.
Right? No, we want to go to the state fair.
Oh, well, come on out.
I want to see like the crazy stuff.
Are you in Minneapolis?
St. Paul.
I'm in Roseville, which is a suburb of St. Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we used to live half a mile from the fair. So we used to walk all the time to the fair. And then we'd go all day, get our hands stamped, come back, feed the dogs, and then go back and watch the fireworks.
Aw. Do you do lesbian softball up there?
Oh, of course.
Oh, you probably know my cousin. I'll tell you her name after the show.
Okay. Bye. I want a revenge porner. Tell her name on the...
No, she's very sweet.
What was the other word? I already forgot the other word.
Revenge doxing.
Doxing.
Yeah, doxing and revenge porn. Her. I'm gonna dox.
What's funny about it is we saw them. Some of my cousins, you know, I think probably at a family reunion like 2006 or something. You know, I've probably seen them since. They're like, and they're from Minnesota, and they have thick Minnesota accents. And they're like, "Do you remember when we were kids and you guys used to make fun of our accent?" And I'm like, "We still do make fun of your accent.
Of course,
you know, how could you not? It's just it's very ridiculous. Sweet and charming, right?
Yes." I have to tell you this really quick. I saw there was like a radio ad here for like a law firm, and they played the actual 911 tape, which is very tragic, of this accident that happened, right? But it was so thick Minnesota accent that it was like this lady and her, they were out boating, and she was like, "Oh no, tattoo got sucked into the boat motor. Oh no, get a bag of ice." And I was like, how can tragedy be?
No. Oh my God.
It's just too much.
My mother said when she was growing up in Minnesota that the way people used to tell Polish jokes back in the day, that in Minnesota it was all jokes about Swedes.
Of course. They're Oli and Lena jokes. Oli and Sven jokes.
And then she found out later in life that she was part Swedish and she was mortified.
Oh,
so she was not a bigot. She was just self-loathing.
She was just self-loathing. Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely mortified.
Maggie.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for cracking jokes with us this past
Absolutely. It was fun.
I'm a fan of Dyke It Yourself. The series is you blink and you'll miss it. It is just delicious. Delightful.
Thank you so much.
And people can go check it out at dykeityourself.com.
Yep.
And follow you on social media at Maggie Ferris, right?
Extreme Maggie. I'm Extreme Maggie on everything.
Extreme Maggie to the extreme, but Extreme Maggie with an X in the beginning or just EX?
No, it's got an E. It's properly spelled. EX.
Hey, what are you trying to say?
I'm too old to short.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Thanks, I absolutely Maggie. Adore you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Best wishes to you both.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And to you, enjoy the season.
I'm going to enjoy my Beaver Fever t-shirt.
Yay! I hope the rest of the world will, too.
Yes, go buy it. Beaver Fever t-shirts are available at dykeityourself.com. Check out her series also on YouTube, Dyke It Yourself. If you don't know how to spell dyke, why are you even listening to this show? D-Y-K-E. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's why it's dyke, D-Y-I-D-Y-K-E.
You know, it is, because we're obviously fans of how-to videos and TV shows. And, you know, Amy Sedaris's series is wonderfully twisted. And when I heard that she wasn't doing them anymore, because, you know, Amy Sedaris has kind of a ADD or short attention span.
I don't know why that's what it is.
I think it is. Like,
probably just True TV said, I'm sorry, Amy, we don't have the budget.
What Amy Sedaris wants, Amy Sedaris gets. So I was heartbroken. And then we just stumbled upon Dyke It Yourself. And I was like, this is amazing. Mm. It's like even better. The only thing I would say is that I just wished that it was more like the videos are usually about, 2 to 5 minutes long.
Mm.
And I want the motion picture, you know, I really want to know about Hillary Clinton. No relationship to the Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton.
No, not at all.
But it's great. You know, there are some parts, don't follow the instructions she gives you because they are dangerous.
You might die.
And you might dismember or hurt yourself for entertainment purposes only. And the resemblance to the Home Depot logo are purely coincidental.
I want to remind folks that we can't do Feast of Fun without your support. Listen, this is show 2,999, and we wouldn't have gotten it to this point if it weren't for people who took time out of their day to say, hey, I love Feast of Fun. Let me send you a Visa card in the mail, which we got today, which I love. Thank you so much, Mark.
American Express cards will do nicely, yes. Thank you, as Tina Turner said in Private Dancer. That's she rewrote the song to update it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Bitcoins or Dodge coins, American Express gift cards will do nicely. Thank you.
She doesn't mention Diners Club, though. I think that was already on its way out back then.
Oh, yeah. No one was using Diners Club in the 80s. That's a 70s thing.
No, in the 80s they had Diners Club. Of course they did.
Only the people who were behind the times. Because the only thing, the diner's credit card.
Were you working in restaurants in the 1980s?
No, it was not.
There you go. So what?
I was
a
child.
You're talking out of your ass then.
Well, I did see, you know, I do know that the diner's club was like the worst credit card you could get or something.
I don't know if it was or not. It was just, I don't know, people used it in restaurants.
Like the whole thing about the American Express card was before they sort of all credit cards became the same thing. Mm-hmm. They were, you had to pay off the balance at the end of the
yes,
month.
Yes, exactly.
That was like the rule. And if you didn't, I guess they would come after you? Or what was the consequences?
I guess you'd have a penalty. Anyway, so the best way to support this show, though, is to become a Feast of Fun Plus member. And you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. You can also join us on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun. Get that ad-free experience.
And we have brand new podcasts available wherever fine podcasts are found. Search Feast of Fun and you can listen to Let's Grow Big Together, a brand new series on gay bodybuilding, muscle gods, and muscle worship.
Ooh.
Titillating, honey.
Get into it. It's a lot of fun.
It's the only podcast that comes with the Charles Atlas seal of approval. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.